He never tells me that he's sick of this house. He never says, why don't you get off that couch? He don't cost me nothing when he wants to go out. I want you to love me like my dog.
9:35 at KSRO. Want you to love me like my dog. Nice job, Stacy. Good morning. Pat Kerrigan here, and Sue McGuire is here too. She is the canine behavioralist. Is that the correct?
Actually, I'm not a behaviorist. I am just a consultant. A behaviorist actually is somebody who went to vet school and got a behavior. But I'm a canine behavior consultant.
You can call her consultant. I call her the doc. She's the doc of dogs. Because I'll tell you, when I got my pup, I went all over the place to different trainers and different people and teachers and things like that. And I didn't feel like much was being accomplished until we met you at the Humane Society.
Aww,
and
that's
a bunch
so sweet.
Of teachers over there that are very, very good. And if you're like me and you have a pup of any age and you have some challenges inherent in those pups, and Sue McGuire is here. You might recognize her too if you've been a longtime KSRO listener, because she used to be on the air with us as well.
Talk about a shift change of careers.
I know, but I had to, yeah. So you went from dealing with dogs to dealing with dogs.
Dealing with DJs.
Yes, same. Yeah. What's the biggest challenge that people have with their dogs?
Lack of patience.
See, now this brings up a really good point, because what Sue imparts to the people who take her classes or sit with her individually is that really it's not the dog's problem. It's your problem. And that was sort of I was hard pressed to buy into that concept for about 5 minutes. And then I learned, yes, it's true. Whatever is wrong with the pup is usually what I'm doing wrong as a result.
What is so lovely about dogs is they're so perfect at being dogs. And
they're good at it.
They're very good at it. I'm not saying that there aren't behaviors that dogs do that can cause their people some problems.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so I'm not dismissing that dogs, having a dog in the home is not a challenge. It's just how you frame the challenge is what I like to approach.
Which in the real world concept is, it's your fault. It's not the dog's fault, generally speaking. And by the way, Sue's going to be with us till 10 o'clock. So if you have a challenge with your dog and you would like to know what to do about that, you can give us a call at 636-1350, and Sue will be able to answer your questions about what's wrong with you, I mean your dog. One of the things you first said to me that made a lot of sense once you explained it was kind of your philosophy, which as I understand it is be more dog.
Exactly.
Explain what you mean by that.
Well, I think that we always seem to frame things in terms of human ideals. And sometimes what that fails to do is it fails to have us pull back and see things from an animal's perspective. You know, I think it's a minor miracle and fascinating, which is why I do it, mm-hmm. that we have these animals in our homes. I mean, they're wild little beasties.
Yes, they are.
And wonderful little beasties. And the mere fact that through evolution and partnership over thousands of years, that they chose to become our partners. And so when I approach things in working with dogs, it's like I have to figure out what they like, what they prefer to do. I can tell you right now what my dogs are doing right now sacked out on the couch. They went, looked once, one little view outside and said,
once you left,
got the poop and pee out of the way, go ahead, Mom, go to work, we're sacking out.
Yeah.
And so I understand that. I understand what it is to be maybe a little dog.
See, my pup is the opposite of that. I know that once I leave the house, she does take one look out the window and says, hallelujah, and then immediately goes to either tearing up the carpet or climbing, you know, all over the table or, you know, counter surfing for something. She sees it as a free pass.
Well, yeah, you turned your head. It's sort of like when Mom turns her eyes and they have eyes in the back of their your head when you crack open the Oreo package?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But sometimes I know that you've explained to me and shown me that when you say things like be more dog, sometimes it's really about literally getting down to their level and seeing the world as they do.
Exactly. And there's a fabulous author out there. And if anybody has not read her book, they ought to. It's Temple Grandin. She has written Animals in Translation. And she,
I always think of her with regard to horses.
She actually is very well known in the livestock industry. And you would not think that Temple Grandin would write a book about dogs. But she's wonderful in that she had the ability. She's autistic. There was a wonderful movie made of her life starring Claire Danes years ago. It was probably one of the best stories about one of these dog authors, if you will. And she has this wonderful ability to see things from an animal's perspective. She's autistic herself. And she's actually quite well known in the world of autism development, working with children with autism. And so that was probably one of the most seminal books for me personally that I went, oh, I get it. Animals see in pictures, see it from their perspective. So I try to take this very much that approach in my life. I mean, I also understand that dogs will be dogs, and if I give them an inch, they'll take a mile. So therefore, you know,
you understand
as,
that.
As I mentioned, my youngest dog right now has decided that she does not want to go into her crate at night. She is 2.5, almost 3. She's growing up, and I look at her and I say, okay, we're going to go one night and see how it goes, and see if you know the chandelier is still hanging and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And she has shown over and over that she is capable of being out of her crate at night. I can't say the same thing about my Jack Russell Terrier, who will chase my cats at night.
So, yeah, so those are busy guys anyway, right?
So I'm very pragmatic when it comes to dogs. I want to be a step ahead of them. I know how it is to, you know, I always have the running joke is, what is a human being seeing in a house? And they see a carpet, they see a remote control, they see cheater glasses, they see a couch. And what does a dog see? Chew toy, chew toy, chew toy, chew toy.
Yeah, exactly. The same thing all the time, right?
Same thing inside a car.
Yeah.
So therefore, I spend a heck of a lot of time early on in the relationship with the dog preventing problems. And as we say, prevention prevents practice. And so therefore, hopefully by the time the dog kicks into that wonderful, what I call hashtag good dog 3 years.
Yeah.
Some behaviors will have already kicked in without me really having to do much of anything.
Yeah, so there is a lot of pre-planning and a lot of making sure that your environment is conducive to having a good dog.
Exactly.
But when Sue says, if you're, you know, you've got a puppy like I do, well, she just turned a year, but
she's still a puppy.
She's still a puppy. And Sue says, good dog, 3 years, you think to yourself, oh my God, I'm never going to survive this. But it's true. There is the patience gene with owners, at least with me, really is true. That when you say she's going to grow out of that, she's going to grow out of that. And she has, you know, very many things. But let's talk about some of the, you know, overall basic general challenges that people have with a new pup, whether it's a puppy or it's a rescue dog, say, that you might get that's brand new to you. What about housebreaking? Because that's one of the things that drives people crazy.
Well, I think house training is 99% management and 1% taking them out on the leash and telling them where to go. So 99%, well, I use the term management. I mean, do not take your eye off that dog. You know, you should be using crates. You should be using baby gates. You should be closing the back doors to bedrooms. I always crack up that when somebody comes to me and says, oh, the dog pooped in the back bedroom. And I go, great, where were you?
Yeah.
If you didn't see it, you can't do anything about it. You know, that's your fault, not the dog's fault. I mean, if you had a choice between pooping outside on a day like today and pooping inside.
I'd go inside.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Smart dog.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, dogs are not, I think, probably the biggest challenge, and, you know, house training, certainly. And it's just kind of, again, trying to shift the focus that I think people come, you know, I think that the canine training industry has probably done a bit of a disservice in not being able to provide enough explanation about expectations. You know, what is the dog should be at this age, the dog should be able to. And I think that we have not done a very good job in explaining that, well, that can really vary, be it a puppy, be it a dog, who you have no history on.
Yeah. And what kind of dog it is, too,
and what
I'm
kind
sure.
of dog, you know, the smaller dog. I can honestly tell you that my smallest dog, my Jack, took probably about 6 months to house train. Mainly because when she pooped, it was not a big deal.
Well, I guess that would make
although my Labradors
of a difference. Like, yeah. How many dogs do you have?
I currently have three. My husband says three's the max, and I might agree with him because there's only so much of them. I have a 6-year-old Labrador Aussie that one of my animal control officers found for me up in some ranch up in Mendocino County. I have a 13-year-old Jack Russell Terrier mix because everybody needs a Jack Russell in their life. I'm saying
really?
Hands down. Oh, yeah. They are the best, smartest, funnest dog. And then I have a 2-year-old purposely purchased border collie. And I think it's important to talk about it's not all about rescues. I, as a trainer, actually purchased a dog from a reputable breeder because I compete in agility. I compete in obedience. And I purposely purchased this dog for these activities. Now ask me if we're doing them.
I was going to say, okay, how's that dog doing competition?
It's going to be 3 in December. We'll start competing in the spring probably.
You know, I thought about getting a border collie and people kept telling me, oh no, they are too smart for you and they are too busy.
They're busy,
you
yes.
need to keep them busy. They have to have a job at all times.
Exactly. And yeah. the job can doesn't look like a job, but I was talking to my daughter on the phone the other night, and my dog, Hattie, her name is Attagirl Hattie, was lying next to me. She was absolutely pooped. We had hiked at Mount Burdell the day before. And she says to me, Mom, you know, that dog needs you. That dog needs you in the worst way. And it's true. I mean, I need her. She needs me. She needs me to make sense of this crazy human world.
Yeah.
And these environmentally sensitive dogs, these dogs that are very in tune to what's going on around them, do need some translation and some help. And that's my job.
Be more dog.